We all busy eating, shopping, going to different gatherings. For church people, it's even harder. We have many meetings and closing ministries, meaning closing, you know, we say thank you to our team members, all these meetings. So we are very busy. And one of the things we always do is to eat, eat, eat. So after Christmas, what do? And you receive emails and a promotion from the gyms, 50% discount, and encourage you to do something about the weight that you gained during Christmas time. And they may give you a 50% off annual membership, but at the same time, they don't expect you to show up for the entire year. Do you know why? Because even though you are motivated, because you're looking at your tummy and say, wow, I gained 5 pounds, what am I supposed to do with it? So now you get an email and say 50% discount, come and do some exercise. So statistics tells us that people usually goes for the first 2 months, and then they pay for the entire year, but they will never use it again, and they will never go again until next Christmas. So we have that motivation, because you look at your belly and your waist and say, well, I have to do something, so you are motivated. But at the same time, your determination is kind of shallow, because when you cannot just continue to go for the entire year, and then you might not even be able to lose that 5 pounds that you gained this year, and then next year you gain another 5 pounds. Oh, no. That would be a problem for us. So this is the situation we're always in. We are motivated to do something, but for some reason, we have difficulties to determine or commit ourselves to continue to compete or reach our goals. And a lot of time, being a Christian, we have this problem too. We are motivated to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, but at the same time, we are not very determined to continue to do so. And I think this is very much similar to what is happening after Christmas. We want to do something about us, about ourselves, because the weight that we gain, but at the same time, we lose heart quickly. We don't follow. We don't determine to continue to reach our goal. And then we run into this problem again and again and again. And a lot of time, we actually give up. So next year when the promotion comes, you won't even bother to look at it because you know you won't be able to follow through and you won't go for the entire year. And Christian growth is similar. Sometimes we are motivated by great speakers. We go to different conferences and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you got motivated to, you know, to grow spiritually, but it only lasts about a few months and then you are back to where you were or something like that. So a lot of time we just give up and we do not do it anymore. And I think this is the situation that we are in. And but Christ asks us to be his disciples. And he wants us to become more fully devoted to him. So this is the journey that we need to continue. So not just motivated to accept Jesus, but at the same time we need to determine that we need to continue this journey instead of just go a little bit and stop for 10 years and then go a little bit, stop for another 15 years and then we go a little bit and then for another 25 years. So that will be a long time. The journey becomes very, very long. So today I just want to look at John chapter 1 with you. And I think this is a very important first call of Jesus' disciple. And as you turn on your phone or your paper Bible, let's look at John chapter 1, and I want you to draw your attention, chapter 1, verses 29 to 51, these 20-some verses, there's a word appear many times, and the word is see, S-E-E, and then the past tense, saw, S-A-W. It appears 14 times, I counted, maybe I counted wrong, but at least 14 times, this word come and see. See and saw. This is the word that show up many times in this passage. And this disciple came to Jesus in all different ways and forms. Some are being introduced, some are called to follow, and some come with doubt. So as you see, this is a real situation. People came to know Jesus or just came to see who Jesus was, came with different motivation, different ways. And we have to be more flexible, I would say, more open to people coming to know Jesus. And some people will come in different format. Some go through Sunday school, some went through small groups, and some just because they are sick, they are needing some help, prayer or whatever. And then this is how people came and saw who Jesus was. So I have 3 points to share with you today. And the first point I want to share with you, how Jesus called his disciples, the message here is very important. The message, the first point I want to share with you is the message of the Baptist. In verse 29, that's the first time John the Baptist tried to introduce Jesus to his followers. So verse 29, if you look at verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, John described Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he said that, but seems to be his disciples, the people following John the Baptist, did not respond right away. They heard it, and they saw Jesus, but they did not follow him. So John tried again the next day. So if you look at verse 35, the next day, John introduced Jesus to his disciples again. You see, a lot of time we introduce our friends, families to Christ, and they say no to you. And you feel so disappointed, and you don't want to do it again. You say, well, there's no use for me to introduce Jesus to somebody because they always say no to me. Even John the Baptist, he had to try twice to convince his disciples to find out who Jesus was. So the first day he told them, you know, this is the Lamb of God. And they did not respond right away. The next day he tried again, and this time they actually say, okay, let's go and find out who Jesus was. We need to have this courage. You know, John keep doing it. He tried again, and the next day he said, you know, a lot of time we said, well, maybe we try next year. I invite my friend to come to church, but they don't come. So maybe I try next year, a year after, maybe they would change their mind and they would come. But the scripture tells us that the second day John tried again. And this time he also said that the Lamb, look, saw, you see, this is the Lamb of God. And a lot of time we need to have this courage to do the same. And I think this is very important to understand who Jesus was, ourselves, to know Jesus, who Jesus was. You see, I believe the disciples, when they heard that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, they did not get it right away. I will show you they did not get it. But they kind of have this curiosity that, okay, maybe we're just trying to find out who Jesus was. So, you know, our master told us, the rabbi, the teacher told us twice already in 2 days, you know, this is the Lamb of God, you know, we should go and try to figure out who he was. So they actually left John and they followed Jesus. Well, I'm sure you were walking in the hallway, and you quickly will find out someone is behind you. It doesn't need to take a guard to find out that, right? When you are walking, then you hear someone behind you, what do? Well, maybe at night in the street, you will just try to take a look. Whoa, who is that person? Is it a threat or is what? So they were curious, following Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He heard someone following him, and Jesus turned around. Who started the conversation? It was always God who took the first step to engage people. Whatever motive they had, they came to follow him. And he turned around. He asked the first question, what do you want? This is my second point. The question of Jesus, what do you want? This sounds kind of what? Cold, you know, rude. What do you want? It doesn't sound really good. But in the Greek word, the word want actually meaning desire. What is in your heart? So Jesus turned around, looked at these two disciples following him, and he asked them, what is in your heart? What do you really want from me? I need to give you some backgrounds, and then I think we will understand a little bit better when Jesus asked this question. Just go back to the river, Jordan River. It was in those days, the Jewish people were what? Under the rule of the Roman Empire. How come they were in the Jordan River following the John the Baptist and listening to his message? So many people came. Why? Jerusalem was not far away. The temple was there. So in those days, people, we have to use our imagination. You know, in those days, life was tough. They were ruled by a foreign nations, Roman Empire. And the religious system, they had no faith. That's why they were in Jordan River, listening to the new message, repentance, from John. They have not heard from God for 400 years. To them, the religious system was broken. They were looking for some hope. That's why they came to John the Baptist. They were looking for a way to connect to God again. That's why they respond to his message. And they want to get out from this ruling from Roman Empire. Life was tough. There was no hope. Religious system corrupting. Where should we go? That was the background. You know, when they came to the river, Jordan River, listening to John the Baptist, now Jesus said, what do you want? What would you say, brothers and sisters? When you approach Jesus, or when you first came to know Jesus' name, the name, the first time you heard it, what was in your heart? You know, they came with curiosity because their teacher told them, this is the Lamb of God. Go and follow him. And they came and they just want to know who Jesus was. Jesus was asking deep down in their hearts, what are you looking for? Really, what are you looking for from me? If I ask you today, why do you come to church every Sunday? Why do you still believe in Jesus? Maybe you already walk away quietly. And Jesus is asking you, asking me, every time you come to him, what do you really want? They were looking for hope. And they came to find Jesus. And he was the one who took the first step and say, what are you looking for? As we can unfold this story, these two guys following Jesus, the first one was introduced, his name was Andrew, verse 40. Let's look at this, verse 40. And the way John introduced Andrew is kind of interesting because he said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. This is how he introduced Andrew when Simon Peter had not shown up yet. Right? So Andrew was following Jesus, but John, when John wrote the book of John, many decades later, this is how he introduced Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. To him, Simon Peter has become a very important figure. So he introduced Andrew, Simon, and so Andrew came, and he introduced his brother to Jesus. You know, the way he did it was very interesting. We have found what? What did Andrew say? After he spent a few hours. Well, some scholars believe that they follow Jesus. Jesus said, come and see. And they say, where do you stay? Remember? Where do you stay? Jesus said, come and see. It was 4 p.m. So according to the Jewish calendar, sunset is the beginning of a new day. And they spent that day with him, meaning that from 4 p.m. to sunset is about 2 or 3 hours. So they spent two or three hours with Jesus. Well, a lot of scholars believe that they spent a night with Jesus. But I'm not sure. Otherwise, John would not tell about the time and saying that they spent a day with him. That day is just from 4 p.m. to sunset. So I think it's about a few hours. Instead of the whole evening, a whole night, I think they just spent a few hours together. You know how he introduced, how he told Simon? He said, we have found the Messiah. Very interesting, because John the Baptist introduced Jesus to them as what? The Lamb of God. But Andrew, after spending a few hours with Jesus, his conclusion was, we found the Messiah, you know? The Messiah. To a Jewish people, the Messiah is the King. He's the one who will come and set them free. For some reason, he did not get what John said. The Lamb of God who came to die for you and for me. And somehow he got that picture. Well, Jesus was the Messiah. You see, a lot of us came with a mindset what God looks like. A lot of people came looking for something and they believe God should act, behave, or being like this. And these people have the same idea. They thought they were looking for someone, and even though they heard what John said, but in their heart, they already said who Jesus is supposed to be, the Messiah. Anointed one in the Old Testament. Greek, the Christ. He's come to set us free. But they were not thinking about dealing with sin issues. They're thinking about him as a political leader coming to set them free. So this is a very interesting, you know, we have this mindset too. Well, I can test that. You think about it. A lot of us today still believe Jesus is what? Our Savior. No question asked. Because we love to be helped. When we run into problems, we always pray. No problem with that. But the concept of our law, he is the law of your life, of my life. This concept somehow, a lot of time, does not register. We often see Jesus is the one who will come when we get into trouble. You see, they were there too. They did the same thing. Even though John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God, but they said, no, he's the Messiah. And Simon came, as you know the story, and it's unfolding, and you know, Andrew, first of all, introduced Jesus to his brother, his family. And we have a hard time introducing Jesus to our family members. But if I tell you, if I share with you, you know, if you find out the cure of the cancer, you know, for all mankind, you know, do you have a problem to share this message with your family members? You would tell your family members right away, wow, we find a cure. You know, some reason, somewhere, some scientists find a solution for all the cancers that are killing us. And you would love to tell your family members. But for some reason, the good news is not good enough. And we have a hesitation to share with our family members. But Andrew, first, the scripture described, first thing he did was to find Peter, his own brother. Knowing Simon, all he needs to do is just say, "We have found the Messiah," because Simon will get excited about anything. Maybe he just jump right up and say, "Hello, look, go, go, go." So when they met Jesus, Jesus met them and said, "You are Simon. But in the future, you will be Peter. Your name will be changed. I see you now, today, and I also see your future." You see, a lot of time we sing songs. We have this concept for some reason. We need to be very careful when we sing this. Jesus loved me the way I am. Very many songs singing similar ideas. But I'm not sure this is biblical. Yes, Jesus saw you the way you were, just like he saw Peter. But he said about his future. God expects us to what? To be more like him. So don't get this idea into your brain, because I don't believe it's biblical. Jesus loved me the way I am, so I don't need to change because this is who I am. And he's going to love me anyway. Yes, he's loved you anyway. But I think he expects us to be more like him. Because the scripture talks about milk, spiritual meal, remember? Talks about solid food. Talks about we should grow in Christ from baby to becoming an adult. It's a journey to become Jesus' disciple. So we cannot say, "Oh, Jesus loved me the way I am, so I can just stay and become, continue to be who I am." I'm not sure this is biblical at all. But anyway, Jesus see Peter's future, and he tells him what kind of people someday he's going to be. So let's continue to read the scriptures. So Andrew finds Peter sharing the message, the wonderful good news, with his family members. And then the next day, verse 43, even though we did not read this, but the story continues. So the scripture described, the book of John says that the next day Jesus decided to leave Galilee, finding Philip. And he said to him, "Follow me." It's kind of awkward, right? If I just see you and say, "Joe, follow me." "What? Who are you?" So even though some people said these two disciples, leaving John the Baptist, following Jesus, one is Andrew. The other one, a lot of people believe, was John, who wrote John the book, the Gospel of John, because he never mentioned his name in the book, something like that. So they thought maybe this second disciple that John did not mention is himself. But some people also said that the second disciple that following Jesus the first time could be, what? Philip. That's why when Jesus saw him again the next day, he said, "Come follow me." Because they already have conversations. They already talk. They kind of get to know each other a little bit. So he said the invitation, same thing to Philip, "Come and follow me." So could be a Philip, could be John, who wrote the book of John. We do not know. We cannot be certain. But that's a possibility. Otherwise, it's kind of awkward just see somebody and then say, "Follow me. Let's go home together." So Philip, just like Andrew, they were from the same town, verse 44. So there's a possibility they are going home together. So somehow before they left, or on the journey, the beginning of the journey, Philip found his friend, Nathanael. Wow, it's hard to say this name. Nathanael, is that all right? And told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote." You see, Philip was very smart. How he approached his friend is different than Andrew. He knows his friend. He's a very religious person. He meditates, you know, the word of God under the fig tree. It's a description, not literally under the fig tree, but it's a description that he's a very religious. So when Philip approached him, he started where he was. He was a very religious, devoted person to the word of God, to the so-called the Old Testament in those days, in our days. But to them it was the law of Moses and the prophets. Always use these two to describe the Old Testament. So he knew he was a very devoted person. So he started from there and said, you see, the one we are looking for, you are looking for, actually, we found him. You see, a lot of time we have no idea. We are kind of awkward to invite people to know Jesus. We do not understand, or we do not know, or we do not know how, we do not even care, starting from where people is. But Philip was smart. He knows his friend. So he started with where he was. He was a religious person. Maybe too religious. So he's so narrow-minded, you know. Jesus from Nazareth, there's nothing good coming out from that, because Nazareth, the name, the town, never mentioned in the Old Testament. How could the Messiah came out from Nazareth? So he came with a doubt. He came to see who Jesus was. But he came because his friend knows how to help him, get him excited, or get him enough curiosity to go and see who Jesus was. His question was, nothing good come out from Nazareth. What did Philip do? Come and see. Second time, this word showing up. The first time came out from the word, from the mouth of Jesus. Come and you will see. The second time is from his disciple. It's from you and me inviting people, come and see. Pastor Henry is going to preach about the Holy Spirit next week. And he just invited you to ask people to come. I was sitting there and say, well, he got the message. Now I'm preaching, you know, to invite people to come and see. Come and see. You don't have to justify people coming. And don't judge people coming to know Jesus. People come from different walks of life, different reasons, different motivations. Just like look at these disciples. They did not have a clue what it means to, you know, the Lamb of God. You know, it doesn't register in their mind because they were not looking for the Lamb of God. They were looking for the Messiah. And they were looking for someone come from Jerusalem, maybe, you know, the King of Israel, or something like that. Look at the conversation Jesus had with him. It's very interesting. You see, in this conversation, in this encounter, Jesus talked about he knows his past. He talked to Simon, he knows his future. But in these situations, he talked about his past. I saw you. You see, the word "saw" up again. 14 times in this passage. Jesus saw him under the fig tree, even before Philip approached him. Talking about he already knows who he was. As I say, fig tree is just a description. People in those days, when you are religious, and people describe you sitting under the fig tree, meditating the word of God. So he knows he is a very devoted person. He was seeking God. And he knows his past. And then look at verse 49. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see, they are still stuck in their mindset. They are looking for someone that they will fit into their category. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And how Jesus replied? Again, very interesting. Verse 51. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You are thinking me as a Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus answered, No, not quite. I'm the Son of Man. But this term in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, often referred to the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, his work on earth, the Son of Man. So they were looking for the King of Israel. They were looking for someone can set them free. And they got stuck in their head. And people introduced Jesus to them. He is the Lamb of God, you know, who's died for us. But they just couldn't get it. They refused to believe it somehow. But Jesus still said, come and see. Come to get to know me who I am. It's okay, brothers and sisters. Don't judge people when they approach Jesus. They come with different motivation. Some come for food. Some come for community, friendship, or girlfriend. That might have a problem. But anyway, just kidding. People come into church, come into Christ with different reasons. And we should not judge people. Even Jesus understand that. Come and see. And so they came. The last point I want to share with you, even more interesting. So Jesus invited them to come and see. I'm sure you don't expect that word, come and see, actually see where he, you know, sleep on the ground near the Jordan River. He might not even have a tent. He might just sleep on the ground with a blanket. Come and see, you know. Few hours, we are being together. What did you get? No, not that. Because I believe John, who wrote the book, actually show us what it means and come and see from Jesus' perspective. So the third point I want to share with you today is the invitation of Jesus. Come and see who I am, and see what it means to be the Lamb of God. Chapter 2. We are running out of time. Don't worry. I'm not going to chapter 2, chapter 4 for another 3 hours. Just quickly, the way John put all this together, there's a purpose. 14 times the word show up, see and saw, people coming to know, starting to know who Jesus was. And they already stuck in their head, you know, who Jesus is supposed to be. And Jesus kind of invited them to come and see who he really is, or he really was. So in John chapter 2, starting John chapter 2 to chapter 4, and scholars believe that John purposely put all these events together. Let's look at this quickly. The first event would be the wedding. As you know, you heard many sermons on that. The wedding in Galilee. You know, they already went back, left the river. They went back to Galilee. So there was a wedding. And at that time, as you know, Jesus said to Mary, Mother, this is not my time yet, but I will do it anyway. You know, because God looks after and cares for people who are struggling in lives, and he takes care of people's needs. So this is the first event John wants us to see when he said, Jesus asked them to come and see. He wants them to see how much he cares in our lives. So the first event was the unfolding the wedding banquet. So the second event, close to Passover, in chapter 2, verses 12 to 22, the event was happening in Jerusalem. The Passover was near, so they went back to Jerusalem this time, and Jesus cleaned the temple. And besides cleaning the temple, he gave us a very important message. It took them over 40 years to build that temple, but Jesus said, it takes me 3 days. He actually is telling people that he's going to replace this broken religious system. He is going to replace this broken religious system. In 3 days, I will raise this temple again. He was talking about his resurrection. So the temple worship is no longer the most important in their lives. And Jesus, who is going to die on the cross as the Lamb of God, take away all the sins of mankind. Third event, very quickly, after that, Nicodemus came, Pharisee. He was in a high position, but he lost hope. He had no hope in the system, and he had no hope. He was looking for something more than just a religious system, sacrificial system. So he came at night and he asked Jesus about, you know, how can I be reconciled? How can I connect with God again? And Jesus talked to him, spent the night with him, and let him know what he's going to do and how people can come to know God again. Verse John 3:16, our popular, the most famous verse of all time, show up here. When someone lost hope, and Jesus gave us hope. The last one, after they stayed there for a while, they seem to move back to the close to Jordan River, and Jesus' disciples, the scripture described, they were doing some baptism. So it got some pressure from the religious leaders, so they left. They are going back to Galilee. So in chapter 4, it talks about the last conversation. Well, on the way back to Galilee, Jesus encountered this Samaritan woman. As you know the story, he talked to her, not only brought her to accept Jesus as Savior, at the same time, Jesus actually stayed for a couple of days. Jewish people, you know that. Jewish people never talk to Samaritans because they are mixed race. The Jewish people marry non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. So they were kind of mixed race, and they were very, very, what? Biased. Racist. They did not like them at all. But Jesus broke the rules. He talked to her. He actually stayed for a couple of days. These four events actually unfolding what it means, come and see who I am. What kind of Messiah? Not what you think, but who I actually am. Jesus showed them, yes, the religious system is broken, and I'm going to replace it, dying on the cross. The hope that you are looking for is from me, Jesus said. You are suppressed by the Roman Empire. You are second class, worse than second class. They were treated more slaves. And Jesus let them see you do the same thing to Samaritans. Help them to understand Jesus also loved those people. They were in that situation. Think about it. All the backgrounds they had, Jesus showed them, this is who I really am as the Lamb of God, the Messiah. I care for people in their daily struggles. I give them hope. And I set them free from these, you know, people suppressing them. And let them see who he really was. This is what he means, come and see. And he invited these disciples to walk this journey with him. It was just the first invitation. And I just want you to see this is the first invitation, because if you look at the scripture, it always says first disciples. Actually, this is a first calling. Because later on, next month, I'm going to show you Jesus called them again. In the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, Mark, but this time it was in what? The Sea of Galilee. The first time was near the Jordan River. So obviously, Jesus called them again. And next month, we're going to visit this calling. But this time, Jesus just asked, come and see who I am. So December, in closing, not only next week, but in December, it's a wonderful time to invite your friends to come, because it's a Christmas time. And I just want to encourage you to have this courage. I encourage you to have courage. Just like Philip, Andrew, to invite people to come and see who Jesus is. Don't give up. Determination is very important. We are motivated, but a lot of time we fall short of determination. I hope that you can keep up this determination. We might fail first time, but John the Baptist did not give up. He asked his disciples, "See the Lamb of God," the second time. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for your call to your disciples. Lord, it's just interesting, you know, these people, they came with different motive. Some came with doubt. Some came with, they already stuck with the concept what the Messiah should be. They were looking for someone, and you did not even fit the bill. But Lord, you have patience. You want to show them you are the true Messiah. Not the one that they were looking for, but that you are the true Messiah who come to save the world. Lord, we just ask you to give us this courage too, at the same time as we approaching Christmas time. We pray that we have courage to invite our friends and say, "Come and see who Jesus is." Lord, we just pray that you will speak to our hearts. In the past, many years ago maybe, someone actually invited us to have an encounter with you. Today, it will be our turn to invite someone to have an encounter with you. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.